Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, verse 31, on page 7 of the handouts, where we were actually last week, but then we're going to jump to page 10, where we left off last week, and covering one more thing about the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel that Jesus talked about. And so just wanted, in case somebody's just joining us tonight, wanted to again read. And even though we're going through the book of Luke, as you know, we're using this handout that's posted every week on our website to go along with this. It's called the Harmony of Olivet Discourse, where we look at Matthew 24, Mark 13. And the Olivet Discourse portion is in Luke 21, but also Jesus answered the similar questions in Luke chapter 17. But what I want to do before we go to page 10 and pick up with the abomination of desolation in Daniel 12, want to read the Matthew part where it says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, Matthew 24:15, of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, the holy of holies of rebuilt temple, not yet built. Whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And so we covered the first part of that in depth with when is this going to happen? It's going to happen during the 70th week of Daniel. We saw when the 70th week of Daniel starts by looking at chapter 9 last week of Daniel. And now we want to go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, which is in your notes on page 10. Or just go to your Bibles. And everybody should mark up their Bibles with understandings that help out. So the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel in chapter 9 was that the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with many, enforce a covenant with many for 1 7-year period of time. It's called the 70th week of Daniel because he made a prophecy of 77s, 490 years. So 69 of those 7 years, 483 years, was fulfilled from the time the commandment to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah comes. That was fulfilled in those 69 weeks of years, 483 years. Then the Messiah was cut off, not for himself, but for others, for our sins. And the stopwatch, or the however you want to look at it, the pause button, it was paused. And we saw this last week. And the pause then starts again. I mean, it goes off a pause and it goes into start to do the last 70th week. The 70th week, the last one of the 77s, is when a global leader, the Antichrist, the prince who is to come, is what Daniel refers to him as. When the prince who is to come confirms a covenant with many for 1 7-year period of time. And over the years, I've had, and a close friend of mine said, Kevin, you know, the Europeans just did this covenant. That's the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. No, it's not. because to start the 70th week, what we also know from Daniel is that he's a global leader. The one who enforces the covenant is a global leader over a 10-nation global empire. And I said, how many nations are there in the world today? 190-some. Okay, it's not. He can't have the covenant till you have the leader. People talk about the mark of the beast today, and as I said before, you gotta have a beast to have a mark of a beast. You gotta have a global government with the world leader beast, or the prince who is to come, before you can have the covenant. Anytime somebody's talking about a peace treaty, you know, Annapolis Accords and all these things, people are saying, well, if it's for 7 years, that's it. That's gonna be the beginning of the tribulation. No. Because it's gonna be at a time when the world is broken up into 10 nations. All countries lay down their flags and they become part of the North American Union, South American Union, African Union, European Union, Asia Union, Southeast Asia Union, Australia Union. I mean, it's already planned. It was on the European Commission website back in 2010 when I was doing a study and they had a map. You and the world, the plan of the world to break it up into 10 nations. 10 nations, not 11, 10. I still have the picture of what they have planned for us. And all this stuff, the complete collapse of all societies, mixing nations together with opening up borders and taking out the West, which is the opposition to this formation of a global government, all of it's happening with a very detailed plan of very wicked people. And God saw it happening before time began for us. And it's now starting to happen. So you can't have the 70th week covenant starting until there's a global government. And you can't have the global government and the revealing of the Antichrist for him to do that until the church is gone. Because why? Because we're restraining the Antichrist coming. So we're not going to be seeing, we're not going to be here for when the covenant is made. Because it's going to be the Antichrist. And it says in 2 Thessalonians 2 that he who is restraining shall restrain until he's taken out of the way. He, in our view, pretty sure we're right. In our view, he is the Holy Spirit in the church restraining. And guess what? You know, we're talking about all this COVID jab stuff. And what does the world, what does Fauci and you know, World Economic Forum leader Schwab, and what do all these guys wish? These Christians that have this discernment to know what we're trying to do with them because of their Bibles and their and the Bible warning them about this utopian plan that the world's going to have in the last days if they just would go away. You know, we're restraining. And we're going to restrain until we're taken out of the way. So now, but chapter 12, Daniel gives a little bit more information about this time that Jesus spoke of. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Chapter 9 said the Antichrist is going to stop the daily sacrifice and, you know, gave a little bit of information. Daniel 12 gives a little bit more information. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and then I have in the notes, by the Antichrist, 3.5 years into the 7-year peace treaty, that 7-year, they say peace treaty, but it's really a 7-year covenant. And the abomination of desolation is set up, image of the Antichrist, where he declares himself to be God. Now, several people have been telling me, Kevin, have you seen the video of those 10-story high, 100 feet tall giants, images that are being put up around the world? 21 images around the world, 10 stories high, all hooked up with high-tech electronics that will morph into the image that you are wanting them to portray. And they talk. You know, it's like their hand and head move, and they talk. Some people are speculating, and it could be true. It could be true that this will be the beast that speaks, that people will have to go to these various different places around the world, and then they will have to be seen and congregate in these places and be seen just like. And what is it like to have this huge monster image that then everybody's required to bow to? Does that remind you of anything in the Bible? Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because what? Because Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, you know, you're a pretty tough guy, but you're going to get replaced. You're going to be replaced by the Medo-Persians. And what did he do? Forget that. Because Daniel saw an image of a head of gold, chest of silver, belly of bronze, legs of iron. So, you know, your kingdom's going to be replaced by this inferior kingdom, inferior. And Nebuchadnezzar kind of like, not a chance, man. This guy, I'm going to make an image all of gold. It's all me. And they made everybody bow down except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't do it. And so here, can you imagine that history's repeating himself? Satan's already getting the world, inspiring the world to be ready to put the image in this thing that can morph into, I don't know how it does it. It must be incredible, these things. It's hologramic, but it can, LEDs. It just has, you know, billions of LEDs or whatever that they just light up. I watched a video for just a short time that just showed them that it would be looking like this person, then it would immediately switch over to another person. And so then with the technology to allow it to speak, and the Antichrist speaks through it, and they'll just sit there and go, everybody bow to it, and anybody that's not bowing, then they get beheaded by the Antichrist, is what the Bible says. In, you know, Revelation 13, and later on it says that they were beheaded for doing it. So, It's amazing that the Bible is going to, it declares himself to be God, will be from the time that that abomination is set up, the image of the Antichrist, and he declares himself to be God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Revelation 13, there shall be 1,290 days, which is really close to 3.5 years until Jesus physically returns. And as we closed our study last week, we said that there's no Jesus coming as a thief in the night for the second coming. Because the day the Antichrist goes into the temple, declares himself to be God, and stops the Jews from doing their sacrifice, from that day until Jesus physically returns is 1,290 days. The Bible tells us. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Possibly meaning those who survived the sheep goat judgment in Matthew 25, which we covered recently. I'm not going to get into, except that Jesus comes back, you know, destroys the enemies of Israel that were all armed. You know, all the armies are vaporized by Jesus. The survivors all around the world are gathered up by angels, brought to the Valley of Jehoshaphat to go through the sheep goat judgments. The sheep goat judgment of naked and you clothed me, imprisoned and you fed me. Blessed are you, come into the Father's kingdom, prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. They lived through the tribulation and were allowed to come into the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. Blessed are those people who get to survive to go into the millennial reign of Jesus. From the survivors of the world. Everybody else, the goats, they are going to be sent to the lake of fire, according to Matthew 25. But you go your way, you Daniel, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days. So, it's going to be amazing when it happens, and I think it's going to happen. I think there's people alive today that are going to experience what we're reading today. Isn't that amazing? You know, we won't as Christians. So it's clear, however it actually literally happens, whether he goes in and sacrifices a pig too and whatever else happens, what is very clear from the warning of Matthew, the warning of Mark, and even the warning of Luke chapter 17, is that they have to get out right away. And why do they have to get out right away? Because they've got to run away from what the Antichrist is doing. And they'll be protected by Jesus and we'll cover this here in a second, as specified in Revelation chapter 12. But what I want to do now, and this kind of, we've been doing this a little bit, but for the sake of conjecture, how can we get there from here? So, there's nothing throughout history. Put it this way. God has always allowed his apostles to leave the hearers and the readers of their works to think that Jesus could come back to take them in the rapture at any point. And we know that from 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. So people were actually thinking they missed it. And Paul says, hey, you know, don't worry. Don't listen to anybody that supposedly has written a letter from us, that this day has already come, that they had missed a rapture because they were being told, oh, the tribulation's here, Titus, you know, the Romans are here, they're going to destroy that. No, you don't understand. And then Paul explained to them more information. And you can go to our Thessalonians study and hear all about that, where I went into detail. So at any point, the church can be raptured. But I've come to just think and share this many times. God's not going to rapture the church in the middle of a revival like everybody was thinking in the 70s. It's not the nature and character of Jesus to rapture the church when there's a revival. So what's, again, learning from Noah and again learning from Lot, when did he take them out before his judgment fell? He took them out when everybody had rejected the gospel. And we're seeing that in our culture today. People are rejecting the gospel of Jesus even when they should be flocking to it. They should be understanding the way America is going down and this is going down and everything else is going down. Wow, I'm standing on sinking sand. Where's the rock? Jesus is the rock. You used to be able to say that in the 70s and people wanted to hear. They wanted to gather together on the beach to hear somebody open up the Bible and tell them the truth about God's word. They wanted to repent, get on their knees and receive Jesus. And it just doesn't happen today. Some people are coming to Jesus, but it's the trickle flow. It's the trickle before God is going to take us off. And what God is also observing is right now through this COVID, jab, passport, digital currency coming. What he sees is his people being persecuted and forced to do things in violation of the temple of the Holy Spirit and his commandments, in some cases. He sees all of that and he's going to take us home before it gets worse, because he's promised us. But then as soon as we're gone, then things are going to happen on earth. And I think, we taught about it in Revelation. Rapture happens, chapter 4, verse 1. After the church age, chapter 2, chapter 3 is all about the church in the book of Revelation. Chapter 4, verse 1, then, John sees the door opened up and a trumpet that calls him up into heaven. You never hear anything about the church again throughout the book of Revelation. Then you see the stage being set for the Lamb, who was worthy to open the seals of the scroll. And in chapter 5, you see him worthy to open the seals of the scroll, and all of heaven is rejoicing in this and stuff. And then Jesus, in chapter 6, he pops the seals. And seal number 2, second horseman of the apocalypse, war, peace is taken from the world. Next one, famine hits the world, and pestilence, and then death cleans up, and a fourth of the world's population dies. So what do I see from Scripture? Rapture, prep for Jesus to pop the seals, which in heaven time, that might be the next second. it could be just we get up there and just bam, the world is thrown into a time of warfare that leads to a fourth of the world's population dying. And as I have in the notes there, number one, conjecture number one, the rapture happens there on page 11. And a future war in the Middle East is going to completely fulfill Psalm 83. And Isaiah 17. And Psalm 83 talks about using modern names, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Gaza, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt. Burning as the fire burns the woods and flame sets the mountains on fire. Isaiah 17 speaks of a future war where Damascus is destroyed and ceases to be the capital of Syria, ceases to be a city. It also says that many other strong cities will be forsaken because of Israel. Did you know that UK is now looking at blackouts in their country? They're having power outages in their country because of all the crazy stuff going on with energy. Their country is being destroyed internally just like ours. And blackouts are probably going to be coming here. And when you think about it, if war causes loss of electrical grid in this country, do you realize how devastating that will be? Devastating. And why would people leave their strong cities? Well, the strong city... See, nobody ever left a strong city. At the time the Bible is being written, all the way up to the time of Jesus and the apostles, nobody left your strong city. What was a strong city? Jerusalem was a strong city. What made it strong? It had a wall around it. And inside of it, you had your stored goods, and you had water source. And you would then, when the bad guys are outside the wall, you just try and outwait them, and they try and outwait you. So you don't leave your strong city, because that's the safety. It's the only place safe. You go out the wall, you're going to get killed. So you wait inside the strong city to try and get the guys to leave, which happened at times recorded in the Bible. But what about today? What's our strong cities today? New York, Chicago, L.A., the strong cities today. Nobody builds a wall. Why? They're useless today. But why would you leave your strong cities today? Because no air conditioning, no power, no refrigeration, no ability to get food into the city, no ability to get sewer, taking your flushes away. No way to get water inside. What are you? You are now millions of you, millions of people in the strong city are going to be having just mere couple, 3 days to try and get out of the city and find a place where they can get safe water and get something to eat and to get shelter over their bodies and to stay warm enough to not die in the elements. And we take all of this completely for granted. My son just went up above the Arctic Circle moose hunting, and they had to fly in on a plane. They had to wait for the plane to be able to have the weather good enough to get in, and it's just like they have a satellite texting system. That's all that they had. And so then, you know, what was supposed to be is there was a cabin, a family cabin that was there with firewood and a torch to start it and everything. And they get there, by to the plane, get there to the cabin, no firewood. No torch to start it. When my son's telling me the whole story, you almost died. I just sit there and go, you almost died? But they didn't. I would have died. In fact, hearing about it just made me cringe, because when you're cold, frozen cold, I mean, how many of you have wakened up at 0 degree weather and put on your frozen pants because your pants got wet inside the tent? You know, and that was not Nathaniel's, because he has like super high tech gear, but his buddy had put on frozen pants. Nathaniel had to put on frozen shoes, where his Achilles tendon to just go and get the meat from the moose was just dying, because it's like having a wood shoe that just there's no flex at all because it is frozen. You know, the inside is dry because it's a very good boot, but the outside is frozen. And we take for granted, oh, just start a fire. Oh, how do you do that? And all the wood around the cabin, it's all wet. Trees, you chop them down, they're not going to burn. And you don't have the torch to start it because it was supposed to be there. And so around here, oh, yeah, go to Ace Hardware, strong city. Go to Ace Hardware, get a torch, and everything's fine. I mean, it's going to be bad. People were going to leave their strong cities. Can you believe the misery that's going to occur? And maybe the Daigle report, there was a website, intelligence website that last year came out, and they've removed this now because it's gotten so much press. But the Daigle report, which provides futuristic gross domestic product and populations and finances and everything else for the world, for countries of the world, they say that by 2025, America will be down to 99 million people. And we're 380 now. Now, what do they know that we don't know? What do they know that hasn't been told to us? Yeah. So, and they got so much, you know, people were just using that Daigle report. And so then I heard that it got taken down and you can't see it anymore. You can't see it anymore. So, we weren't supposed to tell them. They're not supposed to be intelligent enough to use our intelligence site to see what we have planned for them. People are going to leave their strong cities, and it says that Israel's strength is greatly weakened, that the glory of Jacob will wane. So, but greatly weakened, but alive, miraculously. And this is my conjecture that this warfare and this number of dead people all over the world is going to completely destroy nationalism in the hearts and minds of everybody on the planet. They're going to realize that this nation went against that nation, and that's, look at what happened, and we're the cannon fodder, and we got caught in the crossfire, and everything that we held dear is destroyed. And then the globalists, you know, World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, you know, we've been thinking about this day, and we have a plan for you. And we're gonna get rid of nationalism totally, and just African Union, you know, like I already said, and it's gonna develop. And then here, I think, what happened, we don't know why, except scripture says in Ezekiel 38:39, that God puts a hook in Russia's jaw, and he turns them around to come against Israel. So they weren't planning. You know, the world government has disarmed everybody. The growing world government has taken away everybody's weapons of mass destruction. And something causes Russia to come back to want to take out Israel with their allies of Libya, Ethiopia, South, you know, North Sudan, Ethiopia, North Sudan, Turkey, Iran, as an army. In Ezekiel 30:39. And they come and they try and destroy Israel. And the rest of the nations aren't able to do anything about it. So all the nations do is said, you're not really going to violate the plans for global government, are you? Is what I think it's going to be. We have a plan here. Everybody's disarmed. You're supposed to be friendly now. And Russia says, no, we're going to go in. We're going to take a spoil. We're not going to let you rule the world. We're going to rule the world. And God, because they're going after his children, God destroys them. Ezekiel 39. Destroys them by his own act. Not the Jews doing it, God doing it. Now imagine living in the world at that point. The world is still smoldering. There has been another attempt at war by a renegade that didn't want to go along with the New World Order. And then get destroyed by God. And the world will look at how did 6 million Jews survive all of this onslaught of the nations around her that tried to attack her? Syria, Damascus, Russia, Libya, all these people, they survived. And then the Antichrist in his deception is going to say, you know what? Their God has saved them. God has sent me to be their protector. God is going to let me be the one to make a covenant with them, to let them go and rebuild their temple because they want to worship their God that saved their lives. And it's going to happen. And they're going to build the temple. And they're going to start sacrifice. And he's going to make a covenant with them to that end. Then going to the top of page 12, which is where I was just saying the world's survivors reel from the destruction and allow this to happen. And I agree with Bill Salas that there's something to this Isaiah 28:17-22. But it talks about a future time where the leaders of Israel will make a covenant with death. And could that covenant with death be the covenant that they're making with the Antichrist? And I think so. And God curses them for making that covenant with death. Because what are they doing? They're taking this world leader and they're making him their Messiah in exchange for them being able to worship. But then it says, well, let's turn to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. And then this is what happens, I think, at mid-trib, when the abomination of desolation occurs, verse 18 of Isaiah 28. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol, the grave, will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you. For morning by morning it will pass over, and day and by night it will be a terror just to understand the report. So you're going to make a deal, and you're going to say, hey, the rest of the world is under the grips of the Antichrist and the global religion where nobody can have their own exclusive religion of saying their God is the only God. Except for us Jews. We're going to make a deal. We're going to sign a covenant with death that we get to do this. And then halfway into the 7-year covenant, the Antichrist breaks it. And so then the Jews, and then what it says is, day by day, you're going to be realizing they're going to pluck you out. What did Jesus say? You better get going. You better get out of town. Because otherwise, the Antichrist is going to get you. So the people that didn't get out of town, every day there's going to be a taking of the people and culling them by the Antichrist taking them out. And we see that in the Olivet Discourse too. But for that first 3.5 years, think about this. Let's put yourself as a Jew. Is the world disarmed from nuclear weapons and bioweapons? As long as Fauci's dead, no bios. But the weapons of mass destruction where nation can use against nation, gone. A lot of people are dead, but now the world is ready to be repopulated. No more overpopulation. So everybody's excited about that. No more overpopulation. Because half of the world's population is gone. Because first a fourth, then a third, that's a half of the total beginning. And so they're ready to go again. The Jews are going to be just so excited. Our Messiah, we have defensible borders. We're doing Moses in the law for the first time in 2,000 years. Will the world be advertised to by the world leaders, now you can have peace and safety? See, people say that the peace and safety stuff is going on now. I haven't heard peace and safety anywhere in the world my whole lifetime. But when you think about what the world will be like under the beginning days of the Antichrist global government kingdom, everybody will be guaranteed peace and safety, because nobody can make war with somebody else anymore. You're not going to have to worry about it. And not only that, to technological stuff that will be involved, nobody's going to rob you on the streets, because you're going to be in a digital currency. And they're going to know, if you get robbed on the street, oh, it got robbed. Okay, we know who it was, because their phone, their chip in their body put in by the vaccines communicated their location, and we know who it was, and they just got terminated. They just got taken off the system. Imagine a godless, true godless, but God-capable government, little g God, capable government of watching everybody, knowing everything. You know you're not going to get your car stolen. You're not going to get robbed. You're not going to get anything, because they will have 100% absolute control of every single person on the planet, except for you people that won't get vaxxed and get a report, get that tracking in you and get your passport, but we'll be gone. So everybody's going to be tracked. You're not going to get away with anything, not because God is watching over you, but because the government is watching over you. Peace, safety, then it comes. For when they say, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Mostly the Jews, because when the Antichrist breaks the covenant, then he's going to, and let's go to Revelation 13. We'll close with this. We don't get very far. We got almost zero in Luke, actually. Especially the Jews are going to get the brunt, because now Satan comes inside of the Antichrist, and what's his mission? Has been his mission forever. Kill the Jews. Always kill the Jews, kill the promised people of God, because if you do that, God didn't keep his promises to him. And he's apparently going to be wounded. And some people, Grant Jeffries told me this 30 years ago, me and a bunch of other people, he was giving a seminar. And it makes so much sense to me that a guard of the temple will say, you can't go into the Holy of Holies. He goes, yes, I can. I'm the Antichrist. And he's going to get wounded. He's going to receive a deadly wound. That's what it makes sense to me. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And maybe they're going to have by then, they're going to have some kind of healing technology or just miraculous healing by Satan. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Now, how does a Antichrist in Jerusalem go in there and get the deadly wound? Because that's when it happens. You know, however it happens, he gets a deadly wound when he is breaking up the sacrifice in the temple. And the whole world is marveled at this. Not possible in John's day. It's not possible in something to happen in Jerusalem and have the whole world marvel. Is it possible today? Yep. The whole world marveled and followed the beast, the Antichrist. So they worshipped the dragon, Satan, who gave authority to the beast. The Antichrist will be possessed by Satan. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. How long is 42 months? 3.5 years. Which is when Jesus returns, according to Daniel chapter 12, down to the day. So, peace and safety. And then sudden destruction comes upon them if they don't flee to the wilderness, as we'll pick up in Revelation chapter 12. So, we're going to continue through this thought of how could we get there from here using other scriptures to understand what Jesus was saying in the Olivet Discourse. Again, it's conjecture. But it's conjecture that really kind of goes along with what God told Daniel, because Daniel was saying, boy, this stuff you're telling me, it just seems, I'm paraphrasing, just seems too weird. And God said, it's all right, Daniel. These things are going to be hidden until the time of the end. And so here we are in a technological world that allows something that happens in Jerusalem to be seen by everybody on the face of the earth. And when this guy comes back alive with the power of Satan, and people go, man, he just got his head blown off, and now he's healed, and he's alive. You know, imagine if Kennedy, we saw his head being blown off in the Kennedy assassination. And imagine an hour later, a day later, whatever else, he comes out to just greet everybody, saying, yeah, they tried to assassinate me, but I'm here. And guess what? I'm going to kill all the Jews. And the world goes, how could that happen? We saw the pictures. We saw his wife go on the back of the car and take his skull off of the back of the trunk of the car. And he's alive? And yeah, that's what's going to happen. And the world is going to be in amazement. And the Satan is going to empower him. And the world is going to be deceived like it's never been deceived in the history of the world. And people are going to realize, if I don't go along with him, I'm going to get killed. And what the angels are saying at that moment, the angels are now replacing the 144,000 and the two witnesses that the Antichrist has also just killed. The Antichrist goes and kills the two witnesses in Jerusalem, and the 144,000 just appear back up in heaven. And now the angels are there saying, yeah, he can kill you, but worry about your soul instead. Because if you listen to him and you take his mark in your hand, and his name in your hand or your forehead, and you bow and you to one of those giants with his image speaking, if that's what's happening, you will lose your soul forever in eternity. And the Bible says a lot of people will come out of the tribulation as saints because they lost their head, because they turned away from the Antichrist. But a lot of people, we can tell now, which is the jab thing, a lot of people are going to say, give me the mark, because I have to eat, or I'll die. And people today, they just lose track of eternal life compared to temporary life, and it's a very sad thing. So we'll pick it up in Revelation chapter 12, and covering a little bit more about the Antichrist and what he does after he does the abomination of desolation. We're still on the abomination of desolation contextually here. Father, we thank you. God, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to not care about our own life. As you said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but rather fear him who has control over both body and soul. And Lord, to send us into heaven or hell. And Lord, we want to go to heaven. We want to be with you. And we know this wicked world is full of people that hate you, and they're servants of the devil. And they want to kill your people. They hate us. They hate the Jews, they hate the Christians, they hate the people that you have dealt specially with and through history. And God, we just so thank you that your love supersedes their hate. You've loved us so much that you came to take our place so that we can have the hope of everlasting life with you. And we praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship Jesus in this song.
Spirit. tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000s beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
What's all that we've needed? Forgiveness.
Amen.
All that we need, forgiveness in the eyes of God. All provided by Jesus for those that trust in Him. It's an awesome thing to know that He's provided it all. God bless you. Keep you in His care.